Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
I just got three things to say. God bless our troops. God bless America, and gentlemen, start your engine!
Wow!
It's time for Speed Talk. With host Cliff Tanner.
You have a beautiful speaking voice.
I'm special and you're not.
And Pete LaFuchsia.
I may be weird, but I'm not stupid. Or am I?
You're not a freak, and I won't let you think that about yourself.
Why can't you support my gibberish?
From AMA to IRL and NHRA.
Sorry, gentlemen, I am not a fan of that.
Even NASCAR.
Ooh, I'm ready for NASCAR.
If it has an engine and goes fast, they talk about it.
This is the show for you.
We have done things that some folks don't even know about.
Great in-person interviews and giveaways.
Incredible talent, incredible variety, like never seen on any other show before.
Along with the ride, as always, is Kenny Barr.
He's our Joe Biden.
Ryan Newman looking for his first checkered flag since the 2008 Daytona 500.
Hello, Newman!
Newman. It's Newman at the line!
Danica, we saw what happened in the pit. You didn't get a chance to talk to Ryan on the track. You were pulled away. What do you want to tell him?
Probably best I didn't get down there anyway, isn't it?
Go on, cry home to your mama. She's waiting for you.
Through the final two quarters, J.R. Hildebrand. There's more traffic. He's got to get around the lap. Traffic. What a gear.
You can always visit the gang at RadioSpeedTalk.com.
We're racing for the big money, and we're racing for points, and we're racing for the all-inclusive NHRA Full Throttle World Championship, which is just huge in itself.
Okay, I'm not sure what that first part meant, but that last bit was
pure evil.
I was driving around the racetrack, driving with my knee, looking out the window at the fans and waving at them. And when I turned to look back, I ran head-on in the wall and destroyed my car to start finish line. That was embarrassing.
Well,
I was born to a racer, grew up around racing.
I am truly jealous.
And now here are the hosts of Speed Talk.
This romance just got interesting.
Incredible talent, incredible variety, like never seen on any other show before. You people are amazing.
Cliff Tanner and Pete LaFuchsia.
Thank you, Rod Tanner. Welcome, junkies. Man, oh, man, what a weekend we had. Indianapolis 500, Coca-Cola 600, and, God, everything else in between, I think. What a weekend it was. Don't forget, check us out on the Laughing Cliff Media Network. Did I say it right this time? I always seem to mess
it
up. Yeah,
all right.
That sounds good to me. Don't forget,
at RadioSpeedTalk.com.
Check us out at the new on Facebook. Just go type in Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk and go straight to us. We're still on iTunes. Also, you can go to RadioSpeedTalk.com. And again, with that, don't forget, you can also sign up for the Quicken Loan 400 being run up there in Michigan International Speedway. And we had Ryan Newman, or we will have Ryan Newman on a little bit later today. I'm a little behind here. All you got to do is go to RadioSpeedTalk.com, click the banner, sign up, tell us how you listen to us. And we will choose a winner. We got two winners this week. Again, that's June 17th. First of all, make sure you can go, man. Just don't enter just because you want to enter. If you can't go and don't use our tickets, we get a little upset, and we do send out the Speed Talk Mafia. No, just kidding.
We ran into a junkie at the gate last year.
Yes, we did. At
Bennett,
Michigan,
at Bennett,
that's right.
From Mike Anderson.
Yes,
Anderson,
we did.
Indiana.
Yeah, and we weren't smart enough to go get a cameraman, but we did have a nice visit.
Time out. We did. I yelled at them several times.
We did this.
Let's not get into
already.
That. We always get mad at
it's
each
cool
other.
To run into a junkie.
Anyway, be nice to us because one of you lucky winners is going to get pass for two to get down to pre-race activities. Again, Michigan International Speedway, Quicken Loans 400. Get down on the website and sign up. And also catch us at Twitter at Kenny Barr
52
and Radio Speed Talk 2. I'll be on there, and we're picking up some steam on that.
And if you want to talk to Pete on Twitter,
good luck, because you're not going to find me.
Yeah, tweet Kenny and he'll text Pete for you.
Yeah.
As we said, we've got a lot of things
he'll
to talk
telegraph
about.
Me.
All right, we're past all that. Indianapolis 500, Pete and I had an opportunity to go attend, one of the best ones I ever saw. And you know what really makes me mad about that?
What?
Is it? You know how long it took us to get out of the infield? The state police had us on lockdown for, what, an hour and a half before we finally
I've
got
actually
out
found out why we were there.
Why?
It is actually the rules. They do not open the tunnels for anything except emergency vehicles for an hour and 45 after the drop of the flag.
That's
so
fine.
So we know that now for the future.
Exactly.
That we're not going to leave. We're not going to move.
Yeah.
So,
but we finally got out of there.
And then Cliff's comments is going to tell you about our little eye candy we saw waiting to get out of there.
Yeah, but
and I don't want to call it candy. It's more like eye vegetables.
Yeah. Wow. But anyway, it was a good race. And
candy's supposed to be sweet.
And I was trying to get to is the fact that by the time I got home and flipped on, or actually we were halfway up, we were listening to the race
on the
radio, the 600, and they actually interviewed Canassi, which really upset me because he was the winning car, and he actually beat us to Charlotte before we got back to Fort Wayne.
Well, he's probably one of them helicopters we saw leaving.
Yeah, it could have been, but I'm sitting here thinking, wow, after all that celebration, and he still beat us.
So in other words,
we got 2 hours to drive. And
well, so in other words, the hour, the 140 miles we had from IMS to home, he's actually went into victory lane, poured milk, rode around, victory lap for the fans, waving at them, kissed the bricks, hopped on a jet.
No. Don't forget.
Post-conference.
They have to go into conference, which usually takes an hour.
An hour, yeah.
And he still beat us.
He still beat us to Charlotte.
But I'm telling you,
what I think is funny is I text my wife while we're sitting there. I go, okay, just for giggles, we're going to try and leave now. That's when we got into the van. An hour later, I go, we still haven't moved.
Wow. All right, let's talk about the race. Good race. I'm really it was actually fun. That was the first time I actually got to sit down and Twitter quite a bit, and we got a little bit of reaction. But, you know, some of the things that really surprised me is Mike Conway. I mean, you got to feel bad for that guy. I mean, he's AJ Foyt's driver, so you already got pressure on you right there.
Yeah.
But he comes into the pits, knocks out two of his crew. I mean, literally ran over them, flipped him up over his car, and he's so frustrated, he goes right out and wipes out my guy, Will Power. I mean, he just blasted right into him. The only multi-car wreck of the whole day, which I thought was pretty good. It was just, it was a great race to watch. It was the first time we actually got down, well, we made it in time to get down and do the festivities, mm-hmm. and the pre-race festivities, and I actually got to see and stand on the bricks for the first time ever. And Pete had, you know, he comes over to this guy, hey, can we get a picture? And I had no clue who he was. And it turns out he's a celebrity.
You want me to tell? I'm a fan of the TV show Deadliest Catch. And Captain Keith, the captain of the Wizard, is there. He's doing the fan thing, too. And I'm sitting there. I go, hey, you mind if we get a picture with you? And I yell for Cliff. And Cliff's just, okay, hey, taking a picture, smile. And then he leans over me. Who the heck was that, Pete?
I don't watch reality shows. I'm sorry.
I don't either. And I haven't really watched it much in the last couple of years. But it's one of those. I knew who he was. I booked him on one of the other shows I produced on the morning show. His wife is his publicist, and she's one of the great ones to work with. If we were doing regular radio where we talked to anybody, we would have probably had him on every year because he was that great of a guy to get on. I just didn't want to say, hey, you remember me? Because he's probably talked to 1,000 people. Yeah, but we got our picture with him.
And you know he's a race fan now, so maybe you can tie that
he's
in.
He's not a race fan. He got paid to show up.
He got paid to show up, go. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Just like Howie Mandel.
Let's go back to the race, though. It was an awesome race.
Mm-hmm.
What was that? Oh, it was a great show, or a great race. I mean, Tony Kanaan, man. I mean, that race he made towards the end, or that move he made going from fifth to first on the restart, awesome job there. But the whole thing to me was pretty awesome because no matter who those top three guys won, they were three of Dan Walden's best friends. And they had a big tribute. They had the glasses there.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wore. And, you know, I even said in last week's show, it is too bad we're not going to see a repeat winner, but kind of in a way we did because you could just tell, as choked up as he was after he won that race, that it kind of was Dan Weldon, partially.
Yeah.
And, you know, he did a tribute to Dan Weldon by taking his wife around in the victory lap, with Ashley Judd, and I'm thinking what he's really thinking is, well, never mind. Anyway,
wrong show.
Awesome job. I mean, Charlie Kimball, the guy that came out in our buddy Everett over there at
picked him,
and he beat us, Kenny. That's how bad that is. And he said, "I don't know nothing, but I like that Kimball guy." That's exactly how he picked
it. And you can't overlook what Sato did. I mean,
Sato, man.
Look at for a guy who really isn't got a lot of experience in it.
Or money.
Yeah, that's another thing too. And then the other thing, which is the elephant in the room, is the Andretti curse really there?
Well, I got to tell you, man. And when I was doing all my Twitter, and I had to retweet it actually.
Uh-huh.
But the guy said, you know, I like Andretti. He's a good driver and all that. He goes, today he's losing the mental game. I mean, because he was coming across the radio just an idiot. I mean, he was really blasting his crew. Well, I can't do this and I can't do that. And the guy said, you know, I like him. He's a great guy outside of the track. He's a great guy when he does practice and all that stuff, but he's losing the mental of the game today. But he goes, if I was part of his career, I think I'd hit him in the D. And then, so I'm like, wow. But he did. He had a serious attitude, and he deserved to lose that. I mean, but he did a great job racing. It was one of the best ever. 34 lead changes, the most ever. And it's funny because they announced it, and you heard this, they announced at the track that they broke a record of 93 actual degrees.
I thought it was 95.
No, 93. Oh. And 133 on the track. But if you read every other print after that, they were close to the record, but they didn't break it. So I don't know, I don't know who to believe. But that came from the track themselves.
Right. Well, you know what? It may have been the whole. They took the temperature there at the track, but official temperatures are done at the airports, and the airport is from there is good 15 miles away.
Right.
So the temperature could have been a little bit different there.
I don't know. It was hot. That's all I know.
And the cars performed very, very well. I mean, you know, when they first went down to test those things, they were terrible. The engineers got those things balanced right. Firestone got the tires right, and it turned out to be great. You didn't have a tire blistering problem. You didn't have any mechanical
problems. No, there wasn't any problem.
I was going to say, this is probably the closest they've came to a perfect car on an initial redesign. Because if you look at the progression of the cars, they all have a really hard redesign, and they always have a problem for the first couple of years. But this one really came out of the gate well.
You just brought that up. That brought up a couple of points. Now, again, A.J. Foyt, we talked about, Conway came out and took out Willpower, which is a Penske.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, one of the tweets that came across was from A.J. Foyt, and he goes, to Penske, this is payback for 1982.
Oh, wow.
I thought that was pretty funny.
The memory of an elephant.
And Kenny, let's talk about this real quick. We got about a minute left. But let's talk about this because there's now a lot of talk that Ganassi and Honda was doing a lot of hiding and fudging, thinking that they weren't so good, but they had to end up dominating the race.
Yeah. Did you read my blog?
No, actually, I haven't had a chance.
Doesn't bother me a bit. You know, they're just not showing their hand, not tipping their hand all the way. Trying to influence the guys who will give them a little bit more boost because we don't have enough, et cetera, et cetera. Turned out everybody had the same boost at the end of the day anyway. But, I think you're right. I think they just didn't tip their hand all the way until it was time it was go time. And they did an awfully, awfully good job with it.
Well, you take Franchitti I don't like the. I used to say I don't like the guy. First of all, he's got a hot wife, Ashley Judd. The biggest thing is what he overcame because he got spun.
He was dead
in
last.
The pits. In the pits.
Yeah, he had to come back out dead last on the lead lap cars, and he just came up, and he didn't just come up. He dominated for a while. And between him and Dixon, I mean, that was just some great racing. And Kanaan, man, I got to feel sorry for that guy. He got that good boost, and I think Kanaan might have won that race if they wouldn't have had that last caution.
And I think when we go to the prelude, I'm going to ask him if he feels there was not that last caution, was the race yours?
Oh, I think I'm going to, too. But his top, you know, his best three friends, Kanaan, Dixon, and Franchitti on Weldon, they went up and won for him. Awesome experience. You're listening to
Speed Talk.
My perfect night. My perfect night. My perfect night. Passing Kyle Busch in the final lap. Holding off Stewart to win my first prelude. Leading the final lap to the checkered flag.
Making sure Jimmy doesn't win. Beating Tony at his own track again.
The Feed the Children Prelude to the Dream comes to Eldora Speedway Wednesday, June 6th.
My perfect night is a victory too much to ask.
Remaining seats are going fast. Get your prelude tickets now at EldoraSpeedway.com.
Looking for high performance? He knows where to go. When you want high performance parts, there's only one place to go.
Jigs.
High High Performance Mail Order. Only Jags offers you quality name brand track tested parts at great prices, delivered right to your door for the parts you want, when you want it, backed by the best customer service. Dial 1-800-CALL-JAGS or shop online at Jags.com. One call buys it all. One click gets it quick. Jags.
Hi, my name is Mackenzie. You're listening to Speed Talk with my grandpa Cliff and Pete.
Welcome back to Speed Talk. Pete LaFuchsia, Kenny Barr, Cliff Tanner coming at you. Again, don't forget to go to RadioSpeedTalk.com, go on the Quicken Loans 400 banner, tap it, sign up, name, phone number, address, all that good stuff. Tell us how you listen to us and get a chance to win two tickets to the Quicken Loan 400 from June 17th. Please make sure you can go. Be nice, as one of you is going to get a pass, or a set of passes, or tickets, or however you want to call it, to get down on pre-race ceremonies. It's a good time to get up close, you can get some good pictures, and you'll be the envy of some of your friends, guarantee it. So make sure you go over there and check that out. And speaking of NASCAR, guys, again, we're driving back and can only listen to it, so I think I only got to see like the last 150 laps of the race. But again, that it looked like a pretty good race. Nobody really seriously dominated that race.
No, it was a great one, and I would agree with the statement I heard from somebody else that it's probably one of the top five Coca-Cola 600s of all time. A really clean racing, really smooth, just the right amount of cautions. We didn't have to hear at the end, oh, it's going to be a gas mileage race, oh, it's going to be a pit race. So, in other words, it was all the things that you want in a race that made it that good of a race. And then you've got somebody who arguably needed to have a win like this to give him the initial boost in confidence and all that. Casey Kane's a great driver. 13 wins. You don't get 13 wins by pure accident. You have some talent.
Well, that's not true. Some of his were by pure accident, but anyway,
Oh, believe me, we've got other drivers. We can sit there and say pure accident.
That's true. That's true.
We can get the conspiracy hats on about that.
Right. Anyway, sorry. Couldn't resist. Go ahead.
But yeah, I think it was all the right things. It was like making a really fine stew, just a little of every ingredient needed. Boom, and it turned out to be great.
What I thought was interesting, and Jimmy Johnson, again, I mean, he was setting himself up good. As a matter of fact, Hendricks had three cars in the top five for a long time there.
Mm-hmm.
But he set himself up, gets into the pits, and he's actually dragging his gas man down the road, and he goes back to 28th.
Which is about what it should be. And I have to agree with what they said on, because I got home enough time to watch that one. That can, since the design, is it's perfectly in, perfectly out, whereas the old one, the car could have been driving away and it's still going to release. It's got to be perfect going in and out.
And I agree with that.
Because isn't this like the third incident this year of a gas man being drugged out of pit, or at least more?
It's happened 20, 30 times last year. But the problem is a lot of the guys are smart enough to let go. But if you look at the replay, and what I saw, I did not see one guy on Johnson's team say go.
No, that was the radio thing. If you listen to it on TV.
I couldn't hear it.
Oh, it was Knaus said go, and then he goes,
usually
stop.
You got guys, you know, your lead guys going like this, and I didn't see any of that.
Yeah.
And, I got to tell you, man, you can say what you want about that pit crew, man. To Kenny, you know, that's some dangerous stuff.
Sure it is. Sure it is. Even, man, you're inches away from some guy buzzing right by you or getting run over by the hood of a car or, you know, jumping out of the way of something else. And pit road speeds, you know, this is going to sound a little bit morbid, but you're no deader when you get hit by a 60-mile-an-hour car than you are a 120-mile-an-hour car. So.
Really, I thought the 120 miles sent you into heaven faster.
Well, it might. I don't know. I haven't been hit by either one of them yet. I have had cars brush my pant leg before on a racetrack. So.
Well, that was another thing I was going to bring up. I mean, and not only are you going out worrying about whether your guy's going to be able to stop, but you got to worry about the guy behind you or the guy coming up next to you. I mean, I've literally seen those guys get barely missed as they're coming around to change the tires while another guy's coming in right behind them.
Did you see Keselowski spin on Tony Stewart, too?
Yes.
That was kind of wild. And I got to give Smoke some credit. He got, I mean, immediately knew what to do. He just put it in gear, got out where he could spin it a little bit, goosed it, and put it right back in the pit stall. He lost a minimum amount of time. He didn't have guys go out there try to push him and jack it around or anything. He just stood on the throttle and spun around a couple times, stuck her right in the stall.
Well, you know, let's talk about this. And I thought it was funny because I even tweeted this a little bit. But, you know, James Hinchcliffe in the IRL took over for Danica Patrick in the GoDaddy car, did a great job, actually led the race for a while. And I read an article how Danica doesn't miss it, but then she comes over here, and I don't know what's going on in her NASCAR career, man, but she was doing good until she became a full-time driver in the Nationwide. But she is just so lost in Sprint, Kenny and Pete. I don't know if she belongs, or maybe she doesn't need to be pushing her up that quickly.
She doesn't yet. You know, the learning curve is tough. The difference between Nationwide and Sprint is huge. It's mm-hmm. exponential. It's hard to describe, and that's why Joey Logano struggles in Sprint, but he drives the daylights out of the Nationwide cars.
Sam Hornish is doing well. Look at all the people that have taken a step back.
Sandler got kicked around by teams that really didn't want him, and all he took a step back and is doing really well now. You got to learn these cars step by step by step, and that's what the old ABC method was, the ARCA Busch and Cup years ago, and now it's Truck Nationwide and Cup, so I don't know if there's an acronym for that or not, but you need a smart racer like James Busch or something like that needs to get seat time at each one of these things mm-hmm. and get comfortable and get good at them. Unless you're a Dillon, then you got a bunch of natural talent and the best cars in that particular class, and you're going to move up pretty quick. But
you take the Dillons, guys like that. I mean, they grew up in racing, so sure. They got all the best equipment from day one, even though it was a go-kart, as Austin Dillon started out with. But, you know, not on top of that, and I don't believe Tony Stewart's a dumb man by any means. I mean, he capitalized on a situation where he's going to make a ton of money, number one.
Yeah.
But number two, it was just a smart move on his part. But the third thing that really dumbfounds me is, why is he putting her on the tough tracks? I mean, because she's just not ready for that type of racing. She put him on Darlington, Daytona, and you're right.
Baptism by fire. Baptism by fire.
Throw him in a pool, teach him to swim, or is that where the big money is for the sponsors?
Of course it is.
These are the races we're going to sponsor you in. You're going to be at Daytona. You're going to be at Talladega. You're going to be at Darlington. You're going to be at the Brickyard. You're going to be at the big, big shows.
Even though you are GoDaddy.com,
I'd like to see
you promote Danica, and you have for years, but even still, if you keep having non-competitive cars for so long, aren't you eventually going to say, if you can't do it, we're going to cut back? I don't care whether you're a good, hot-looking female or not.
Depends on how successful GoDaddy is and how many domain names she sells with all her advertising.
And it's just like, I mean, you can look at it with Junior. He sells Mountain Dew. He puts people in the recruiters' offices.
And you've said it before, I'm a fan of Earnhardt. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. If Dale Earnhardt Jr. was not Dale Earnhardt Jr., he would just be
a shoe manager at a Walmart.
He would still be in racing, I believe, because he likes racing, and you could tell he likes racing. Mm-hmm. But he'd more be like a Joe Nemechek or someone like that. That would
funny to kind of put an exclamation point on that. My wife, who's now finally getting versed in racing and will actually watch it with me and ask intelligent questions, asked me, why is he so popular? I don't get it. Because he doesn't win. There's a long story, and I'll tell you.
Two reasons.
Dad.
It's his dad. The second reason is he's single, and all the women in the world want him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because he's Earnhardt's son, and he's got gazillion dollars, and they get to get in the spotlight.
And they want to be his first wife.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. But unfortunately, they hadn't realized that he's got the same – oh, never mind. I'm not going to go to the equipment there. I mean, anyway. But you know what? I will tell you this much for Junior. He's had a hard time dealing with it. I mean, he was almost prepared fully for everything until his dad died, and he just lost all things. Then he had to fire, and he just lost all interest. In my opinion, he's more interested in partying. But I will tell you, this year he's a lot more focused than I've seen him in the past.
It's the beard. He's got gnomes in those beards that are keeping him. They're like,
What's the real reason, Kenny?
The chemistry of the race team. Yeah. You cannot put enough of an emphasis on getting along with everybody. You can't be cussing your team out like Kurt Busch and some other people we've heard here recently. You got to get along with everybody. You got to be able to communicate. And even if you use a language like, you know, football teams have their own Bengalese or Lionese or what have you, you got to get on the same page with the guy. No matter if you say, the car loops, I talk like a moron, or however they're going to communicate. In Spanish, I don't care. In Swedish, in French.
¿Dónde está el luso?
Yeah, it don't matter. You got to get along with your with everybody, and you got to be on the same page communication-wise. Then you got to have fun with it, even though you're spending $20 million. If you're not having fun, it ain't going to work.
Well, good friend of the show and former NASCAR crew chief and a guy that you work with on the local level here, Steve Minnick Sr., said the same thing about Junior. He doesn't know how to talk about race cars properly, like Jimmy Johnson or Jeff Gordon or some of the others. But you could tell Steve Letard has actually found a way to communicate with him to make that car better for him.
And that's why him and Tony Urie Jr. were as good as they were, because they grew up in the same family and they understood each other.
They spoke their language.
Yeah, they fought a lot, but, you know, that's
they
family.
They just couldn't get the right car.
Yeah.
All right, need to take a break. You're listening to Speed Talk.
Now it's time for the Guru of Curmudgeonry. Curmudgeonry, that's not even a real word. The Sultan and Critique, it's Cliff's time to comment on Speed Talk.
You should share your hilarious hate with everyone.
Hey, hey, junkies, what a race weekend it was. The Coca-Cola 600. A lot of awesome stuff going on. One of the greatest Indy 500s I've ever seen. And, you know, luckily Pete and I were there, because I'm telling you what, you want to talk about some dicing, slicing, and some good racing. And it was awesome. But, you know, a few things I want to talk about here real quickly. Number one is, you know, we always talk about Memorial Day being great for the veterans and all that. And I'm telling you, if you didn't take a moment to thank somebody or pray for a family member or anything that's in the military, you're nuts. You know, but anyway, also in that is the service industry, the ambulances, the police, the fire department, all those guys, the first responders, as they're called now. I got to tell you, and Pete and I saw this firsthand, I want to tell you, and they even, you know, announced it on the, at the track and stuff, but those were the most overworked guys when it hit 93 degrees, 133 on the track. Every time we turned around, even from the press box, we could see ambulances in the infield out there, that they were constantly moving. But with that, I want to bring up behavior. Folks, I'm telling you, last year, Pete and I almost didn't make the race in time because somebody stabbed somebody, somebody got hit by a car, and what was it? It was something else that happened. And we sat in traffic for 2.5 hours going 1.6 mile an hour, I think is what it was, wasn't it? Something like that. But the behavior, I just couldn't believe some of the things I saw. I saw a lot more fighting than normal. I say a lot more people just being rude to each other and getting in each other's faces. And we even got flashed when we were waiting to leave, as people seem that they don't care no matter where you're at. They're going to, you know, drop trowel and urinate wherever they want to. And, you know, it's sad when you take a prestigious race like this and have one of the best Indies ever out there. And, you know, everybody talks about NASCAR racing fans being rednecks, man. I'm telling you what, I've been to a lot of NASCAR fans, and guys, you could say whether you want to agree with me here or not, but, you know, I haven't seen half of the behaviors I've seen at an IRL race down in Indianapolis. Even the NASCAR race down there isn't as bad as that. And I've seen some weird things happen down there in Indy, but this was the worst, man. Come on, people. This is a family event. There's kids walking all over the place. If you want to get trashed, do it after a race or the night before. During, you know, especially in high heat like that, you're just asking for trouble. And one of the things that Pete and I saw, too, that really upset me, some lady was so drunk, she fell over and knocked down a serviceman, a Marine in full dress uniform. He hit his foot in a hole, twisted his knee, got up, couldn't walk, and he still helped her walk along because she couldn't even stand up. Come on, people. If you're going to do something, get out there and enjoy it. Remember, there's kids around. I'm out of here.
This is Zach Vandal, crew chief of number 12 Street Stock at Bearfield Speedway and member of the Speed Talk family of racers. You're listening to Speed Talk with Cliff and Pete.
Well, the winning just keeps continuing here right on Speed Talk. We've got two pair of tickets we're giving away this show. I've got our first winner on the phone, and it is a gentleman who hails out of Dowagiac, Michigan, Mr. Ron Heil. Did I say your name right?
Yeah, Ron Heil.
Ron Heil. Well, congratulations, Ron.
Wow, thanks.
And you listen to Speed Talk on, where do you catch us at?
I listen to it on WROM out of Detroit.
Oh, right, yeah, WROM. Love them. One of our great affiliates out of Detroit, Michigan. Yep. Well, to tell you what you want, you've got a pair of tickets to the Quicken Loans 400, which is Sunday, June 17th, up at the Michigan International Speedway. You ever been up there for a race?
That's awesome. Yeah, yeah, I have a couple times.
It's a great facility. And
it's a beautiful facility.
And you've been entered in to win a pair of not only the tickets you've got, those are yours. Nobody's going to take them away. But you also have a chance to win a pair of passes to be on the track during pre-race. We will be announcing that next week.
Okay, wow, that'd be great.
All right. Hey, Ron, we thank you and appreciate that. And you know what? You're going to enjoy yourself yet again up at Michigan International Speedway.
All righty. I'm sure I will.
All right.
And thank you.
All right. And that's this week's winner, Ron Heil out of Dowagiac, Michigan. You're listening to Speed Talk.
Friends, a few times in our lives, we're called to boldly step forward and meet the opportunity before us. This summer is such a time at Michigan International Speedway when the warriors of NASCAR lock in an epic battle for racing supremacy. You're called to join them to witness the real-life racing glory as we bear witness to 43 warriors locked in a 200-mile-an-hour battle. Let us celebrate their competition and salute the triumphant victor. May your day at MIS be like no other. A day to live like kings. May you feel the thrill, the glory, and the exhilaration. Seats are available now for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series Quicken Loans 400 on June 17th. Call 800-354-1010 or visit mispeedway.com. Michigan International Speedway. Here's to life. Here's to racing. Here's to MIS.
Listen up, junkies. This is Jesse James Dupree from Jackal and the reality show Full Throttle Saloon. You dialed right smack dab on top of Speed Talk with Cliff and Pete. Ha! Them two sumbitches. Come on.
We're now joined by the driver of the 39 Quicken Loans car, Ryan Newman. Ryan, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, no problem. Appreciate it. Hey, you're up in Sterling Heights, Michigan, promoting the big Michigan race coming up. What's going on up that way?
Well, two things. Obviously, a new, newly repaved MIS Speedway. The announcement of the Quicken Loans 400, which just happens to be one of my sponsors and Stuart Haas' sponsors. So we're proud to represent them and try to raise some awareness for the upcoming race here in June.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit, Ryan. As you said, you're being repaved, or Michigan was repaved. Are you looking forward to that? Have you been out to practice on that a little bit, or are you expecting any big changes coming with that?
Well, there's the biggest change is going to be the increased speed. The cars are going to be so much faster. We're looking at 215 to 217 miles an hour at the end of the front straightaway, and that's scooting right along. So, that changes the way we race a little bit. That changes. You know, the mid-corner speed is up significantly because of the fresh asphalt and the tire combination. So the racing is going to be different. The racetrack is basically the same. I mean, the shape, banking, all that stuff is the same. Just the biggest thing is the grip and the tire combination. So we're going to see how it all goes. We get to come up a day early and get a little practicing in and have an idea before Friday the actual race we can start, so what to expect.
Well, you say there's going to be a little bit of racing. You think it's going to be closer racing than it has been in the past?
I'm not real sure, honestly. I mean, between Michigan and Pocono and now Kansas here this fall, we'll have three racetracks that are freshly repaved. So it's going to be interesting to see the transitions. NASCAR's done a good job with places like Phoenix when they repaved to get it racy. Usually it takes some time to get the asphalt kind of broke in, per se, and make the racing good. And they did a good job at Phoenix. Hopefully we can have a good go over here in Michigan.
What's that do to a driver's mentality, or not necessarily mental aspect, but you got to be a little bit excited when you go to a new track, you know, or newly paved track like that?
Well, you just figure out what you have to do. It's different. You figure out what you have to do to beat the competition. That's what we do each and every week, whether it's new pavement or the same old racetrack. So, you know, you have to change and adapt, and that's that'll be our goal.
Well, talk about your sponsor, Quicken Loan. They decided to sponsor the race. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, Quicken Loans is right here in Detroit, so it's a nice fit for them. Obviously, the big three are right here in Detroit, and we look forward to the opportunity to try to get the Quicken Loans Chevrolet in Victory Lane, and proud to sponsor them. They're a great group of people running a great business, and they're very much behind the Army soldiers and the veterans out there and all the things that they do to help give back to them, and we're just proud to tie it all together here at MIS.
Well, talk about your year so far a little bit, Ryan.
Well, we've been up and down. We got in Victory Lane at Martinsville. We unfortunately haven't had but one top 10 since then. That was in the All-Star race. So we need to pick up the performance a little bit, but we do have that victory. We're sitting 13th in points right now and looking forward to the next few races.
So, I mean, you talked about up and down. I mean, is there something missing that is going on? I mean, is it the car setup or?
Well, that's racing. When you're dealing with 42 competitors up and down, not that very atypical. It's not like other stick and ball sports where you got a 50-50 shot at winning. So, we have to be humble when we do what we do and go out there and even if you finish 20th, you didn't win, but you still beat half of them. So it's a different perspective when it comes to winning and losing.
Well, currently you're sitting 13th in the points. As you said, you had one win so far, which is good. That sets you up if you fall between in 11th or 12th when the chase starts. At what point in the season do you start thinking to yourself, okay, I got to get myself into position to where I'm either in the top 10 or I've got the most wins at 11th and 12th position so I can get into the chase and make it in there again?
I think about it as often as I can. From my perspective, I have a job to do. I have to go out there and drive the race car fast, and hopefully that we'll be in the right position. But I think about it all the time. It's just a matter of us doing it together as a team.
Well, Ryan, let me ask you this. I mean, you're from the Indiana area, and you've been racing for a long time. We always like to ask our guests, what got you started in racing, and kind of tell us what led you up to where you are today.
My parents got me involved, my dad in particular. I always wanted to be a race car driver, and just when I came into this world, he put me in position to be a quarter midget driver and moved me up. I guess not much different than a kid that's playing baseball and Little League and things like that, moving up to minors and majors. That was my experience, but with a steering wheel in my hand, not a baseball mitt or bat.
Well, that's always a good thing. You got an engineering degree also from Purdue. Now, when you're looking at, and we've talked to some of the crew chiefs throughout the series, but do you have any aspects or ideas in your head when you're working with the crew chiefs on trying to get the car set up?
Always, but it's up to us to do it together as a team, and that's a very, very important part of it. So I have my own thoughts and have my own ideas, but how we work together as a team is what's most important.
All right, well, Ryan Newman, we appreciate you joining us, man. I know you're a busy guy. Thanks for taking the time, and we look forward to seeing you up there in Michigan and other races, and good luck, man, because we always like you, and I know you're Pete's favorite driver, and just go out there and tear him up for us.
I thank you. We'll have the U.S. Army Chevrolet and the Quicken Loans 400, two of my great sponsors, and we look forward to it.
All right, thank you, Ryan. Have a good day, bud.
Thank you.
Thank you. Again, that was Ryan Newman, driver of the 39 Quicken Loans / Army car. I forgot to mention the Army. Why did you tell me that, Pete?
I didn't know who was sponsoring it for that race because that's how he set this up. This was
perfect. He's always been on the Army guy, so. But
well, he's in the Army, but then he's also got Outback for what,
that's
sixth?
True. That's
like, because if he would have finished in the top 10 at he's gone.
Okay.
If he would have finished in the top 10 at Charlotte, free Bloomin' Onions for the next week.
Yeah, that's true.
It's one of those.
I forgot about that. So, all right, folks. Again,
I'm speechless.
Yeah, I know it was kind of bizarre. I kind of feel
you're smacking me. Just ask questions. I'm like,
that's fine. I was surprised. That's why I say he's your favorite driver. I figured you'd be, had all kinds of questions.
Dude, it's like if I was to ever meet in person Newt Rockne or guys, I'd be like, oh.
Well, if you meet Newt Rockne,
that means I must be dead.
Then we truly are in a zombie.
Okay, Lou Holtz. If I ever meet Lou Holtz in person and get to talk to him, I'd be like, oh.
He's a nice guy. I wish we could have more time with him, but he's a busy guy, and he's promoting Michigan International Speedway up there.
And
don't forget.
And we may get him at the Prelude, which, folks, you want to tune into that. Yeah. We're going to be at the Prelude, and we're going to get to talk to as many drivers as possible. That one may be a Speed Talk drafting because we'll have that much audio. After what I did last year, I'm like, oh, yeah, the availability is great for all these guys.
Yeah, we'll be there coming up in the on the 6th, I guess, is when.
And it'll air on the 9th and 10th.
But anyway, I started to say that Quicken Loans 400, also, don't forget, we're giving tickets there, so get to radiospeedtalk.com and register. You get a pair of two tickets. Be real nice to us, because one of you lucky winners is going to get passes to go to the pre-race ceremonies, which is pretty
awesome.
Pretty cool. So make sure you get in there and get it done, and go out there and cheer on Ryan Newman. You know, as you know, we're all from Indiana area, and he's from South Bend, and
us Midwestern guys got to stick together.
Yeah, and one of the most built race car drivers there.
Holy cow!
I mean, he's built like a
brick poo house.
Yeah, a big house, man. He's just solid. But we appreciate Sammy and everybody up there hooking us up with Ryan. And
yes, normally when we talk to him in advance of a Michigan race, we usually get Roger on. Because of logistics, we really had to do this over the phone. And Cliff and I have decided we're going to do something different with Roger. We want you to submit questions to us that you want us to ask Roger Curtis from Michigan International Speedway.
Yeah, so give us a different perspective because, you know, we don't always
we can have fun with this, and Roger loves these type things.
Roger loves it. And Roger's a great guy. Again, he's the one that helped us, was instrumental in getting us into the national spotlight a little, so to speak. So, go to RadioSpeedTalk.com, first register for the Quicken Loan 400s, and then make sure you let us know what questions you think we should ask Roger, as we'll be talking to him in the next week.
Yeah, there's a million different ways you can get it to us. You can send it to Cliff via Twitter. You can put it on our Facebook page. You post it on RadioSpeedTalk.com, or you can send it to Pete at RadioSpeedTalk.com, Cliff at RadioSpeedTalk.com. And if you don't want to send it to us, you can even send it to Kenny at RadioSpeedTalk.com. He'll get the question to us. So.
All right. Well, folks, we need to get a break in here. You're listening to
Speed Talk.
Now is the time where you can ask a real-life mechanic how things work on a race car. It's Speed Talk's own Kenny Barr and 1 Minute with a Mechanic. Kenny attempts to answer your questions about anything mechanical in under 1 minute.
Hey, junkies. Here's hoping everyone had a safe and enjoyable Memorial Day weekend, got in all the racing they wanted, and the most important part, remembered to thank a veteran. The email bag opens up this week to a question from Veal Johnson from Vancouver, British Columbia. Yeah, I got that right. He tunes into us a couple of different places, KPNPFM and PKNRadio.com. We love to hear from listeners from Canada and the West Coast, and here, hey, I get both. Okay. Question. What happens to dirt cars when their axle tucks underneath them going into a corner? How does that help? It looks like they're falling apart. When those cars get into that contortion-like state, they're looking for three things. Grip, grip, and grip. The spring and shock packages they use on late model dirt cars are set up so that the right rear takes a lot of the weight during certain times while going through the corner. And you're right, they look like they're going to break in two when the racing gets hot and heavy. Getting grip is the most important game on dirt. It takes a good combination of a well-built race car that can take the punishment it needs to, a driver who has a feel for what's underneath him, the right suspension package, the right tire compound, and experience of what the clay, which is what really most good dirt tracks are, is going to do during the course of the race. A driver can, very easily, make the right rear tire very mad at him if it's abused, and it will not grip, and you'll not go anywhere except backwards. But man, if you get everything right, if Katie bar the door, I'm coming through. So junkies, keep those questions coming. Use either quick link on either side of the website at RadioSpeedTalk.com, or you can fire one directly to me via email, Kenny@RadioSpeedTalk.com, or I'm now on Twitter, @KennyBar52.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Listen up, junkies. This is Jesse James.
This is Jeff Snyder, crew chief of the number 70 modified at Bearfield Speedway and member of the Speed Talk family of drivers. You're listening to Speed Talk with Pete and Cliff.
Welcome back to Speed Talk with Pete, Kenny, and Cliff coming at you. It's that time, man. I'll tell you, things just go quickly around here. Last week, we decided to do only the two biggest races for our predictions. And I got to tell you, Kenny and I got a little bit of a butt-whooping there.
Oops.
And Pete actually won
the week.
He's still not catching us for the yearly so far. But keep in mind, we had Everett last week, if you remember, from the Shepherd's House, who told us prior to he would make his pick, but he didn't know nothing about it. He picked, and they only lost to Pete by .5.
Yeah, I'll have to tell him that.
So I don't know if I'd be bragging too much about kicking our butts.
Dude, I don't care about the guests. I care about the three of us.
Oh, wait a minute. I don't care about the guests when Jesse Giorgi whooped our butt that one week. He cared about
No. I mean, I'm happy for Jesse. I'm happy for Tracy. I'm happy for Everett and for Scotty.
All right, well, anyway.
I mean, and Scotty, that's got to be the worst finish of anybody on our show ever.
Well, that's okay. We won't tell him that either.
Yeah, we won't. But, you know,
he
picked a good one. No, I love that voice. I'm telling you. It was cool. Anyway, we went to two races, the NASCAR, obviously, the Charlotte 600, or the Coca-Cola 600, Indianapolis 500. We'll start with the Coca-Cola. Let's see. Kenny came in with 11th place finish with Jimmy Johnson. I picked Dale Jr., got 6th. And Pete was Clint Bowyer at 13. And, Everett was 9.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
11, 6, and 13, and he had the 30-second explanation.
Yeah, but here's the thing that killed us, Kenny, is we picked Will Powers in the Indianapolis 500, got wiped out. Again, payback from 1982 from A.J. Foyt to Penske. But, man, he finished 28th after that wreck. And Pete made a good call on Tony Kanaan, who almost pulled it off, but pretty good job. But the one I thought was pretty cool with Everett picked Kimball, and he's the race for diabetes also.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah,
I forgot
that's
about
the guy.
That.
Yeah.
The guy. Yeah, he was in Fort Wayne.
Yeah, he finished 8th. That's right. Yeah, because you and I talked about it because
we missed him. Yeah, found out day late.
Yeah. Anyway, so Pete ends up with an 8 place average. I was 17. Kenny was 19.5.
Don't tell my buddy.
Kenny and I are still neck and neck, 7.6, 7.7 for the year. Pete has got under a point.
I'm now within a point of you guys.
Until this week.
That's still third, though, right?
Yes.
Doesn't matter.
And how many guys
Hey, I'm still on the podium, okay?
Three. Well, that's because there's only three people. Crazy, man.
All right. IRL this week, Streets of Detroit. Kenny.
I don't know. You wrote it down.
Willpower okay. For me.
And I'm going to go with Andretti.
NASCAR Sprint at Dover. Kenny picked?
Somebody different.
Truex.
Yes.
I went with Kyle Busch, Pete.
And I'm going to go with the gentleman we had on the show, Mr. Ryan Newman.
All right. Camping World.
Busch.
Kenny? Busch. Well, you remember one. I went with Timothy Peters.
I'm going to go with Peters also.
All right. Funny Car in Englishtown, New Jersey.
Height.
Kenny?
Robert Height.
Beckman, back-to-back for me.
Cruz Pendergon's going to pull this one out.
All right. Top Fuel. Kenny?
Schumacher.
Schumacher. I'm with him, man. I've been picking Schumacher. He's only disappointed me once. He's been in the top five except for twice, I think. So.
And I'm going with a guy from Englishtown, New Jersey. I'm down with Brown, Antron Brown, to win.
Oh, my goodness. Here we go. Well, it's nice to see.
He always picks Brown.
Let's take a picture of this.
He's brief about Vettel, and he always picks Brown.
He goes between
Oh, believe me, don't get me started on that one. Next week or when we pick him, I'm going to throw something back in you guys' face, I found out.
Girls, were just here to have fun.
Oh, wow.
All right, you're listening to
Meow, Kitten Fight. Meow.
You're listening to
Speed Talk.
I'm Roger Curtis, president of Michigan International Speedway and a fellow race fan. There's only so much time and money to do the things you really love in life. That's why we're making sure your time at the track this summer is better than ever. MIS is dedicated to delivering exciting NASCAR racing and a great escape with friends and family. You've earned your fun this summer, and MIS is committed to making sure you get it. We'll see you at the track. Michigan International Speedway. It's your speed.
The Air National Guard is a reserve component of the United States Air Force and serves alongside active duty Air Force members in times of a national crisis. With over 95 different career opportunities to choose from and 100% paid college tuition to any state-funded college, why not give us a call? Call 1-800-841-3103 or visit online at goang.com to find out more. The Air National Guard, guarding America, defending freedom.
My perfect night. Passing Kyle Busch on the final lap. Holding off Stewart to win my first race. Leading the final lap to the checkered flag.
Making sure Jimmy doesn't win. Beating Tony at his own track. Again.
The Feed the Children Prelude to the Dream comes to Eldora Speedway Wednesday, June 6th.
My perfect night is a victory too much to ask.
Remaining seats are going fast. Get your Prelude tickets now at EldoraSpeedway.com.
It's been like this for weeks.
You just need a new battery.
That should do it.
That did it!
Bring it in, and we'll bring it to life.
You need anything else? Okay.
Find every battery for every need. Interstate All Battery Center. Outrageously dependable.
Need a battery? Visit your local Interstate All Battery Center today.
Hey, this is Eddie Krawick, rider of the Screaming Eagle, Vanson Hines, Harley Davidson, V-Rod. You're listening to Speed Talk with Pete and Cliff.
Welcome back to Speed Talk. Kenny, Pete, Cliff coming at you for our last segment. Man, I'm telling you what, guys, a lot of information to talk about. Sometimes I think we need 6 or 8 hours, man. I swear to God.
And then next week we're going to be from one of our affiliates, WKKI, doing the Prelude. So we would need like 10 hours for that one.
Well, we're not going to take 10 hours down there. Some of us have to work the next day. But, be looking for that, folks. But we want to thank Ryan Newman for coming aboard with us. But before we go into that, don't forget, go to RadioSpeedTalk.com, Quicken Loans 400, June 17th. Register for your chance to win a pair of tickets there on the banner. Again, make sure you can go, please, and be nice, because one of you is going to get a pass for two to pre-race activities. And this week, you already heard Ron Heil on just a little bit earlier in the show. And he is out of Dowagiac,
Michigan.
Dowagiac. I don't know why I always say that wrong, because I've been there. Out of Michigan. And he listens to us on what?
WROM.
Right. And then we also have Charles Tranter. He comes out of Boise, Idaho.
So he's going to make the trip. Ooh.
Yeah, well, he's got family down there, he says, and he's coming down around that time. So KSLJ 690. Bud talk out there.
All taters all the time.
But we always want to thank all those guys coming on. Again, Ryan Newman for coming on. Guys, crazy week last week, and there's so much we could have talked about, but we just didn't have
We didn't even talk about the greatest F1 race ever at Monaco.
Oh, it was a good one there.
Oh, my gosh.
And, if we would have picked, you and I would have had Vettel at four, and he would have been eighth or ninth. You see, we could have been closer.
Probably.
But,
did you see that crash there?
No, I did not.
That's what I was
talking about. I saw the last two laps of the race. That's all I got to see.
Oh, man. I just saw the highlights. Man, I saw the whole undercarriage of the car. It was kind of
cool. Oh, he went up. He was vertical.
Yep.
Wow. I don't know, man. It was some pretty crazy stuff. And, again, the Indianapolis 500, one of the best I've ever seen. But, anyway, with that, guys, we want to thank everybody. Our winners and Ryan Newman and all of our staff. Check us out on the internet, radiospeedtalk.com, Twitter, Speed Talk 2, or Kenny Barr 52. Become our friends on Facebook. Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk. We're on iTunes. Speed Talk production of Laughing Cliff Media. Copyright May 2012. All rights are reserved. For Kenny Barr, my co-host and partner in crime, Pete LaFuche, I'm Cliff Tanner. Remember, it has an engine. Goes fast. You'll hear about it on
Speed Talk.
We're gone.
Owning a pet can be so rewarding, but challenging at times. Do you have to work and can't make it to the vet? Are you away from home for long periods at a time? Is there a new pet at home that needs attention? Are you out of pet food and can't get to the store? Does your yard need cleared of pet waste? Do you have a unique pet that needs special care? Are you going away and you don't want to send your pet to the unfamiliar surroundings of a kennel? If so, Terry's Indie Pet Service can help in all these situations. In addition, full-service grooming will be offered later this year. When you hire Tips, you can leave home and know that your pet is exercised, fed, watered, and given medication, all in the comfort of their own environment. There is no longer a need for your healthy animal to stay in an uncomfortable kennel. Tips can solve the challenges of pet ownership. If you want the most personalized care for your pet, then hire Terry's Indie Pet Service. Visit her on the web at HireTips.com. That's HireTips.com. Or call her at 317-410-3377. Tips, your pets can play while you're away.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
To hear your voice. Well, you know what we're doing, and we're going to be adding more and more as we move along, and we're so thankful to our guys over there at our friends over at Radio Speed Talk, Cliff, Pete, and Kenny. Of course, you know them every Saturday morning right here on The Balance. They join us for the first hour of the show. Hey, guys, you know what? Every week we're going to be running Speed Talk right here on The Balance Radio Network. So glad that you guys could join us. And I tell you what, coming up Saturday morning, we've got a jam-packed show for you. We've got some great racing talk, obviously a recap of the Indianapolis 500. We've got a lot of stuff coming up. The Indianapolis Destroyers have their first game Saturday night. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Obviously, we got a lot of stuff coming up. And guys, I'm going to tell you what. The Balance and IndyProSports.com have teamed up to give you the – if you are not following us on Twitter, Facebook, we have somebody, their only job is to push our social media. And anyway, we're going to get into a lot of that on Saturday, so make sure that you join us right here Saturday evening, at morning. Yeah, Saturday morning, it's evening now. Saturday morning, right here on the Balance Radio Network. My name's Sean Marquis, El Presidente. We will see you guys on Saturday morning right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.